To unravel the mystery of Satan's origins, we must first recognize that Satan was not always the malevolent being we know him to be. In fact, he was created as a powerful and beautiful angelic being, filled with wisdom and perfection. Scripture reveals that God created the heavenly hosts, including angels, as part of his magnificent creation. In Job 38 verses 4-7, God speaks of the time when the foundations of the earth were laid, and the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. This passage suggests that angels were created before the physical universe, rejoicing at the birth of creation. Angels were created as spiritual beings, possessing intelligence, emotions, and free will. They were created to serve God and to carry out his will in the heavens and on earth. Among these angels, one stood out in particular, Lucifer. Lucifer, whose name means light-bearer or morning star, was an archangel of exceptional beauty, wisdom, and power. In Ezekiel 28 verses 12-15, the prophet Ezekiel delivers a message from God to the king of Tyre, which is often interpreted as a dual reference to both the human ruler and the spiritual being behind him, Lucifer. God describes Lucifer as the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, and says, "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you." Lucifer was adorned with splendor and held a position of great authority in the heavenly realm. However, something changed within him. Isaiah 14 verses 12-15 poetically recounts Lucifer's fall from grace, saying, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will make myself like the Most High.' But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit." Lucifer's heart was filled with pride and ambition. He desired to exalt himself above God, to take the throne of the Almighty. This rebellion against God led to his downfall. Lucifer was cast out of heaven, along with a third of the angels who followed him in his rebellion, Revelation 12 verse 4. From that moment on, Lucifer became known as Satan, the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, and the embodiment of evil. Satan's rebellion was rooted in pride, the desire to be worshipped, and the rejection of God's authority. He was not content with the exalted position God had given him. He sought to usurp the very throne of God. This rebellion was not a mere misunderstanding or a momentary lapse in judgment. It was a deliberate and calculated act of defiance against the creator of the universe. It's important to note that Satan's rebellion was not a surprise to God. God, in his omniscience, knew that Satan would rebel, and yet he allowed it to happen. This raises questions about the nature of free will and the purpose of evil, which we will explore in later chapters. The existence of Satan and the reality of evil pose a significant challenge to our understanding of God's sovereignty. How can a good and all-powerful God allow evil to exist? This question has perplexed theologians and believers for centuries, but the Bible provides us with insights that help us to see God's purposes even in the presence of evil. The Bible makes it clear that God is the sovereign creator of all things. In Colossians 1 verse 16, Paul writes, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. This includes the angels, both good and evil." God's sovereignty means that he is in complete control of everything that happens in the universe. Nothing occurs outside of his will or permission. This includes the rebellion of Satan and the presence of evil in the world. While this may seem troubling at first, it is crucial to understand that God's sovereignty does not make him the author of evil. Rather, he allows evil to exist for a time, using it to accomplish his greater purposes. One of the key reasons God allows evil to exist is because of the gift of free will. God created angels and humans with the ability to choose, to love, obey, and serve him willingly. Love that is coerced or forced is not true love. For love to be genuine, it must be freely given. Lucifer, like all angels, was given free will. He chose to rebel against God, and in doing so, he brought evil into existence. This same free will is given to humanity. We have the ability to choose to follow God or to reject him. Unfortunately, the first humans, Adam and Eve, chose to follow Satan's deception rather than God's command, leading to the fall of humanity and the entrance of sin into the world, Genesis 3. Even though Satan's rebellion and the fall of humanity brought sin and evil into the world, God was not caught off guard. From the beginning, God had a redemptive plan in place. This plan was centered on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who would come to defeat Satan and redeem humanity from sin and death. In Genesis 3 verse 15, immediately after the fall, God speaks to the serpent, Satan, and makes a promise. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." This is the first prophecy of the Messiah, who would one day crush the head of Satan, though he would suffer in the process. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God's plan unfolding as he works through his chosen people, Israel, to bring about the Messiah. Despite Satan's attempts to thwart God's plan, he ultimately fails. Jesus Christ, the promised Savior, is born, lives a sinless life, and offers himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. In his death and resurrection, Jesus deals a decisive blow to Satan. Hebrews 2 verses 14 to 15 tells us, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." Through his victory on the cross, Jesus has broken the power of Satan and secured the ultimate redemption of humanity. Although Satan has been defeated by Jesus Christ, he is still active in the world today. The Bible describes him as a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Understanding Satan's role and tactics is crucial for believers as we navigate the spiritual battles we face in our daily lives. One of Satan's primary tactics is deception. Jesus calls him the father of lies in John 8 verse 44, saying, "When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." From the beginning, Satan has sought to deceive humanity, twisting the truth and leading people away from God. In the Garden of Eden, Satan deceived Eve by questioning God's command and suggesting that disobedience would lead to enlightenment, Genesis 3 verses 1 to 5. This pattern of deception continues throughout history as Satan seeks to distort God's truth and lead people into sin. Satan is also known as the accuser. In Revelation 12 verse 10, he is described as the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night. Satan delights in accusing believers, bringing up their sins and failures in an attempt to undermine their faith and confidence in God's grace. The New Testament frequently speaks of the reality of spiritual warfare. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6 verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." As believers, we are engaged in a battle against the forces of darkness, led by Satan himself. However, we are not left defenseless. Paul goes on to describe the armor of God, which includes the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6 verses 13 to 17. By putting on this spiritual armor, we can stand firm against the attacks of the enemy. It is also important to remember that Satan's power is limited. While he can tempt, deceive, and accuse, he cannot force anyone to sin. James 4 verse 7 encourages us to submit yourselves, then, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, believers have the ability to resist Satan's schemes and walk in victory. In light of Satan's ongoing activity in the world, believers are called to be vigilant and prayerful. Jesus warned his disciples to watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation, Matthew 26 verse 41. Prayer is a powerful weapon in the spiritual battle, enabling us to stay connected to God, seek his guidance, and receive his strength. 1 Peter 5 verses 8 to 9 offers further encouragement. "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. By staying alert and standing firm in our faith, we can resist Satan's attacks and remain faithful to God. While Satan remains active in the world, his days are numbered. The Bible provides us with a clear picture of his ultimate defeat and the establishment of God's eternal kingdom. Revelation 20 verses 1 to 3 describes a future event in which Satan will be bound and thrown into the abyss for 1,000 years. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him, to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. This period, often referred to as the millennium, will be a time of peace and righteousness on earth, as Christ reigns with his saints. Satan's ability to deceive and harm will be temporarily halted, allowing for a foretaste of the coming eternal kingdom. At the end of the millennium, Satan will be released for a short time, during which he will once again attempt to deceive the nations and gather them for a final battle against God. However, his efforts will be in vain. Revelation 20 verses 7 to 10 describes this final confrontation. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil, who deceived them, was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. This marks the ultimate and final defeat of Satan. He will be cast into the lake of fire, where he will experience eternal torment, along with all those who have rejected God. There will be no more evil, no more deception, and no more suffering. The victory that Christ secured on the cross will be fully realized, and Satan's power will be completely eradicated. Following Satan's defeat, God will establish a new heaven and a new earth, where righteousness dwells. Revelation 21 verses 1 to 4 gives us a glimpse of this glorious future. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." In this new creation, there will be no trace of Satan's influence. God's people will live in perfect peace and harmony with him, enjoying his presence for all eternity. The questions and struggles we face in this present world will be replaced with the fullness of joy and the knowledge of God's goodness. The truth about who created Satan and why evil exists in the world is both sobering and hopeful. We have seen that Satan was created as a beautiful and powerful angel, but his pride and rebellion led to his downfall. Yet, even in the midst of this rebellion, God's sovereignty and redemptive plan remained intact. Through Jesus Christ, Satan's power has been broken, and his ultimate defeat is assured. As believers, we are called to stand firm in our faith, resisting the enemy's schemes and relying on the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. We do not need to fear Satan, for his power is limited and his defeat is certain. Instead, we can live with confidence and hope, knowing that God is in control and that his kingdom will be established in fullness. In the end, the truth about Satan points us back to the truth about God, a God who is loving, just, and sovereign. He is the creator of all things, the redeemer of humanity, and the one who will ultimately bring about the restoration of all things. As we live in the light of this truth, may we be strengthened in our faith, emboldened in our witness, and filled with the hope of Christ's victorious return. Mark 11 verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Open your heart and believe so that the blessings of this prayer will come to you. Say this prayer with faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You, the Lord, you created the earth and the heavens and all that is in them. I give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, God, for everything you have done in my life. I'm grateful for the good things and even the tough times. You've been with me through it all, and for that, I say thank you from the bottom of my heart. God of mercy and compassion, please look with pity on me. I know I have sinned against you. I ask for your forgiveness. Father, Lord, have mercy on my mistakes and failures. Every mistake I have done in word, action, and deeds, Father, forgive me. For your word clearly says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me. Now in the name of Jesus, I declare the power of God against any work of the enemy. Every secret agenda the devil and his cohorts have plotted against me be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Father, your word said Christ was manifested that the works of the enemy might be destroyed. Every work of the enemy against my marriage, my job, my business, my career, my family and children, be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, I declare fruitfulness in every area of my life. Let the power of Christ touch my life so I bear fruit. I am fruitful in my life, in my ministry, in my marriage, in my business, in my career, in my job, and in my finances, for the Lord gives us power to make wealth. Let prosperity be my portion in Jesus' name. I will not lack but have in abundance. Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. Anything that hinders my service, Father, deliver me. God, save me from myself. Save me from people who will not lead me to you. Save me from desires which are not godly, things which are not in line with your word. Father, help me obey your word. Sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, make me strong. Make me fervent in you. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. Father, restore all the things I have lost, either by my ignorance or carelessness. You said in your word that the years the locust has eaten in our lives, you will restore us. Thank you, Lord, for restoring me, my family, my marriage, my career, and my ministry. Father, you sent forth your word to heal our diseases and sicknesses. I declare your healing from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Father, heal my family, friends, and loved ones. Let your healing be their portion too. I boldly declare that I am a child of God. I walk in victory through faith. I am the head and never the tail. I am what God says I am in Jesus' mighty name. I boldly declare Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He letteth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He letteth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, my Father God, for hearing my prayer and answering my prayer. Amen. As this message has blessed you, type the word Amen in the comment section and share with us your testimony too in the comment section. In the name of Jesus Christ, all these blessings have come upon you now. Beloved, help us spread the gospel of Christ and reach more people all over the world by liking this video and sharing this message with your family, friends, and loved ones. We really appreciate your great support. We plead with you to subscribe so you can receive more videos that will revive your spirit and uplift your life. Christ came that all people will be saved. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, this is the right time to do so. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and because of me, you came to die on the cross of Calvary. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Today, I boldly declare that you are my Lord and personal Savior. Come into my heart and lead me. As you have said this prayer, congratulations, you have been born again. Please look for a pastor in a Bible-believing church and tell him you have given your life to Christ. You will need to fellowship with other believers to learn about your new life. Prayer is a very powerful tool God has given us. With prayer, our problems receive solution and we get comforted by God. Please leave your prayer request in the comments section. We are constantly interceding on your behalf before God. Trust me, friends, our God will answer your every prayer request. Sometimes we may not reply to your prayer request in the comments section, but that does not mean we are not praying for you. We have you at heart and your requests. May the grace of our Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you now and forevermore. Amen.